That was some singing. Well, I'll tell you, when you look under singing in the encyclopedia, it's what it's going to say it's going to be. Wow. We could arrange for you to move here. Well, good morning, family. We're going to pray and then we're going to get right to it. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful service that we've had all day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit inspiring such greatness in people. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit would continue to lead us through this message that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
First, we have a holiday coming up. Anybody know what that is?
Memorial Day.
So, Memorial Day, not to be confused with Veterans Day, is a remembrance of all those who have given their life, made the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can come to church. As my friend Ron said, so that we can worship freely and not have our heads cut off. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're very thankful for those who have given their all. And I don't want to miss, anybody know that we're in a war right now? A spiritual war? And I would be remiss if I did not say that those who fall asleep in the Lord are soldiers of the cross. And we should remember those people fondly for giving the ultimate sacrifice and service to God. Amen? So, having said that, I have multiple notes. So today I'll be using some notes and because we're about to embark upon a very serious series. But first things first. Anybody here have a cell phone?
Yes.
I want you to take it out. Take it out. It's okay. I know you got it. It's okay. Take it out. It's not evil. It's a communication device. Right? Everybody got their devices out? I want you to make sure that your phone is on. I did not say off. I said on. There may come a day where we'll need your cell phone in this church. Amen? So I want it to be on. You can turn it down. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But please make sure that it's on. Matter of fact, you can actually go to the Arcata McKinleyville Seventh-day Adventist Church Facebook page and join that, follow that, share the content on there, and so we can increase our virtual footprint. Amen? I know some of you don't like doing that, but, you know, this is ministry. Every time you share a video or something that's on there, an event, you are doing evangelism. You're getting the word out, and all you have to do is sit at home. How easy is that? Amen? Anybody here want to do some evangelism? That's easy? That's easy. Okay. So also, if you want to, you can text your friends and say, well, my pastor is about to embark on the most important series so far this year. He's about to preach a 5-part series on Seventh-day Adventist Fundamental Belief number 23, marriage and the family. That's important. That's exciting, isn't it? So we're going to embark on a 5-part series on marriage and the family. That is Fundamental Belief number 23. First, we will do the family. Then we will talk about marriage. Yes, we will. And then we will talk about the woman's role in our chapter, All Ladies First. Women's role in marriage and the family. And then the man's role in marriage and family. And finally, children in the family. Okay, you got that? Okay. So, there's a saying out there, that says, As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the church. Now that's a quote. I hate to quote the Pope, but that was Pope John Paul II. I happen to disagree with his quote. And I looked for who came up with this quote. I couldn't find it, so I'm going to claim it for my own. Copyright that. And I say, as the family goes, so goes the church. And so goes the nation. And so goes the world. After all, the church is an important part of our society. The family is the basis of our society, our religious society, and our society at large, isn't it? But our family is under attack. There are organizations out there and people out there who want to destroy the family. There's the feminist movement, there's the polygamist movement, and of course there are other, what shall I call them, agencies that are out to destroy the family. Now, I'm going to read you a quote from a certain feminist writer named Linda Gordon. And she wrote this in the magazine called Woman, and it's in her article, Functions of the Family. And part of what she said is, the nuclear family must be destroyed. The nuclear family must be destroyed, and people must find better ways of living together. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. And I found many, many quotes about what they want to do with the family, and none of them, suffice to say, none of them look pretty. So, we are under attack. But we don't war against flesh and blood, do we? We war against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wickedness in high places. We are about to go to war with the devil himself. We are at war. Brothers and sisters, when you become a Christian, the devil hates you. He just doesn't dislike you. He hates you. He loathes you. He wants you dead. He wants your family dead. And he can't have you physically dead. He wants you spiritually dead. He wants you sitting in your pew doing nothing for him. So what's the message today? What's the title of today's message?
I thought I knew.
I was wondering what I should call this, and I couldn't figure out a title. And then the Lord said, well, why don't you just call it, I thought I knew what marriage and family was about until you asked me. I figured that was too long. So, I thought I knew, .. You know, because I thought I knew what marriage and family was about. It wasn't until I faced challenges in my own family, when I realized I needed to study it and investigate it, and that's what had a great effect on this series. Now, where do we... So I kind of know what I'm talking about, because we're not going to do an in-depth study on the family today. This is going to be a short message. And by the way, I'll wait till I do that. So, where do we look? Where do we usually look to find out what a family looks like? Your own family, right? You look around your family, oh, this is what a family looks like, right? Or you look to your relatives' family, right? Or you look to other people's families, right? Or, God forbid, you look to the media. That is a dry and desolate place to look for what a family looks like. Today we're going to talk about what a biblical family looks like. You notice I didn't say a Christian family. There's a lot of people out there who say they're Christians, but not all of them are Bible Christians or Bible-believing Christians. Huh? So we're going to look at the Bible. What did I say? We're going to look at the Bible. Did I say we're going to look to popular opinion? Did I say we're going to look to what philosophers say? No. Did I say we're going to look at what Pastor Matthew Baker says about the marriage and family? No. This is not my opinion, brothers and sisters. This is what the Bible says. So, when we're doing this series, and invariably I offend at least one or all of you, you feel free to call me, text me, email me, come and see me, and ask your questions, and I will usually refer you right back to the author. Which is who? Who's the author of the Bible? All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. It's God breathed. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit when they wrote the Bible. Amen? So, what I have for you today is, first time I've done that here, I think, we have study guides. So if we could get a deacon or two to help pass these out. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. I probably should have to do that earlier. We wouldn't have a pause in the sermon. Mm-hmm. So, thanks, Juan. Next time you can do this. Okay. So, yes, if you'll notice on your study guides, there are questions. I think there's 12 of them. There's also scripture up top where we're getting these answers from, because I won't be reading all of them. So, yeah. So today we're going to talk about the family. So if you want to know what a biblical family looks like, we're going to find that out today by looking in our what? And who are we going to ask? God. All right, I think we're just about there. Okay, so the very first question is, in the beginning, everything was what? What does Genesis 1:31 say? It was very good, right? By the way, this is going to be probably the easiest Bible study you ever did. This is an old-fashioned Bible study today. Is it okay to study the Bible on the Sabbath? Amen? I hope so. So it was good, 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 and very good, right? You could say it was all good in the beginning. Question number two. Numero dos. So, what was not good? That's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. What was not good? That man should be alone, right? Or man to be alone. The word for man there is actually also the word for mankind. So God said it's not good that mankind should be alone. Even though there was only one man at the time. The word there is Adam, where we get Adam's name, right? So you would put in there mankind to be alone. Easy so far? Yeah. So, what makes up a biblical family? We're going to read this, Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 28, part of our scripture reading. And this is after the fifth day. So, what follows the fifth day?
Sixth day,
yes, absolutely. Not a trick question. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts." Oh, if you want to know when creeps were created, it was on the sixth day. So, "and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so." Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth," again, creeps on the sixth day, "upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was" what? It was good. Amen. Verse 26, and God said, let us make whom? Man in our image, after our likeness. And by the way, I want you to hang this on a hook in your mind. This phrase, in our image, and after our likeness. I want you to hang that on a hook in your mind. We're going to come back to that later. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. So we have dominion over the creeps that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. Created he him, male and female. Created he what? Them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. So what made up the original biblical, what two words did I use? Original biblical, right? What made those out? There's one, two, three, four things, four individuals, or four categories, I should say, that made up the family, the original biblical family. What are those? The man, right? And then the woe man, because that's what Adam said when he saw her. Woe man. And then there are what? Children, or offspring, right? And Catherine remembers this because we did this at the school, right? Where are you, Catherine? Okay. I hear you over there. Okay. So what was the last one? Siblings. See, she got right. She got wrong the last one. She had wisdom because she learned from. Amen?
Yeah.
So we have a man, a woman, children or offspring, and children are what to each other? They are siblings, right? You might say brothers and sisters. Amen? Okay, number four. The family was what? I know, I should have probably worded this better. So what is God? What? Okay. Starts with a P, ends with a perfect. Perfect, right? So, yeah. So, Catherine knows this one. She was there. So, I did this at the HBCS, our Christian school. It was really a lot of fun. So, the family was perfect and made in the what? Image of God. See, isn't this easy? Easy stuff. Okay. Okay, five. True or false, the family is still in the image of God. Catherine? False. We're gonna figure that out. Right? What was the phrase I wanted you to put in on the hook in your mind? In the image of and in his likeness. Okay. Perfect and in the image of God. The first man and woman were perfect. Then they had teenagers. I saw a thing on the phone that said, you know, I'm not sure, nobody knows when the devil first rebelled, but he said, I think it was 15. So number six, Satan hates the family because it is the image of God, right? And Satan hates who? He hates God. Isn't it? See? Common sense, right? And biblical. Look all the scriptures up that are in your study. Number seven. In whose image are we made? Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. And I was blown away when I first read this. When I first was studying what the family and marriage was about, and I read this text, I was like, it's almost like stumbling across it and going, what was that? You ever do that? You'd be walking along and you stumble over something and you'd go, what was that? What did I trip over? And this is very interesting. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years. And he begat the son of his own what? Likeness after his what? Image, and called his name Seth. So no, we are no longer in the image of God. We are in a marred image of God, a distorted image of God. That's what we are in, because the devil has been attacking the image all these years. It's like taking a hammer to a statue. We are all messed up since the fall. After the fall, I don't like calling it the fall because it sounds like it was an accident. Kind of like when a man comes to me after he's committed adultery and says, you know, it just happened. Like, please. We just fell on top of each other. I don't know what happened. Okay. So after the fall, after Satan tempts Eve and she tempts Adam, and then the first mother and father fall into sin, right? After that, we are no longer made in the image of God. We are made in the image of who? Adam. Of man. Of fallen man. So we now have a fallen nature, a sinful nature. Did I say we are necessarily have to sin? Did those words come out of my mouth? No, they did not, because we do not have to sin. That's right. I hear preachers all the time telling me, you know, you're going to keep sinning until Jesus comes. And I'm like, so God can't keep me from sinning? So the Holy Spirit living within me can't stop me, can't help me be better than I am? Is that what these guys are saying? This is exactly what they're saying. It may be true, you may sin until Jesus comes. But I will not say that you will have to keep sinning until Jesus comes. That would be limiting the power of God, and I don't know about you, but I'm not into that. Number 8. The family is a... We're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Thank you, Michelle, for that wonderful children's story, because this is what I was going to do, the children's story, in case you weren't here. So I'm very thankful. How many times a year does the pastor do a children's story? Anybody know? Once. Unless somebody doesn't show up. Okay. Ecclesiastes, what chapter? 4, verse 9, I think. 4, 9 through 12, thank you. So, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, this set of texts is usually used in a marriage ceremony. Matter of fact, part of it was used in our marriage ceremony. Dr. Kinsley was the one who married us. Praise the Lord. Yes. At his house. With a reception and everything. It was awesome. Big shout out to Dr. Kinsley and his whole family, because they told us, because we were going to, I'm going off on a rabbit trail. So we were going to go off and get married. They said, no, you're not, because it's holy. So I said, well, we don't want to have to do some big thing. And they said, just show up. And everything was done. It was amazing. Okay. So, but in the context of this text, this is really talking about fellowship. So, it says here, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor. That makes sense, right? 4, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. When I used to live up in the mountains, we had 1 year, the first snow in 50 years, of course, the first year I moved up there. Yay. Many stories from that year. Snow was like up to here. And that wasn't snowdrifts, that was snow. People's cars were buried under the snow. There was so much snow. And I remember going out into the woods to just, you know, because you get snowed in, you don't want to be stuck in the household the whole time. So you get what you call cabin fever, and you do big foolish things like going out and walking in very deep snow. Well, I remember trying to traverse this one trail, and there was a big cedar log across it. So, not being wise, I tumbled over it, and there I was, in a big deep snowbank by myself, and not able to get up after a while. It took me a while to get up out of that hole, and I'm just thankful that I did. It would have been nice to have somebody there to pick me up, amen? So that's what it's like when you don't have somebody to help you out. Again, if two are together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. That third cord, by the way, is Jesus Christ. So, what is the family? It's a community. Just as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a family and a community, so the family is a community made up of different parts, isn't it? Amen. So, number 9. What is the Old Testament pattern for community? And that's in Numbers 2, and we are not going to read that whole chapter. You'll feel free to read it in your leisure, but suffice it to say that it starts, the community started with a family, then there was a tribe. By the way, Numbers 2 is when the people were putting their standards up, and Moses was telling them where to put their standards up for their family and their tribe. So it says it starts with a family, then a tribe, and then a nation. A family, a tribe, and a nation. Number 10. What is the pattern now? Because there's a new pattern to what a community is. We're not setting up standards according to tribe and nation anymore, are we? We don't have a temple anymore, do we? So, it starts out with a family. We're going to find this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. It says, if I am Christ, I am Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Right? Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, if I'm a child of God, I am not only an heir, but I'm a co-heir with Christ. That's good news. You're not just a regular heir to the promise. You're a co-heir with Christ. A brother of Christ. A daughter of Christ. A sister of Christ. Amen? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, and I think I forgot what that said. Galatians chapter 6, by the way, you're going to have to add Galatians 6, 10 to your list of scriptures because I neglected to put that on there. Galatians, that's in the Newer Testament, right? Not the New Testament. So that's Galatians chapter, what chapter?
6.
What verse? 10. Oh, you guys are brilliant. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. How many men?
All
men, especially, it says, unto them who are of the household of faith, the family of faith, the family of God. Amen? So this new community is made up of a family, a local church, and then a universal church. Now, I used to say global church, but God's everywhere, isn't He? Isn't the Holy Spirit everywhere? Isn't the kingdom of God universal? I know some of you don't like the word universal. Right, Catherine? Some people think that because Catholic means universal, that, oh no, the pastor's teaching the Catholic faith! Oh no! What are we going to do? He's apostatizing, not as a Catholic. But our church is universal. Is this the only church? Okay, to McKinley. Is there churches in other countries? Yes. Is there a temple in heaven? Are there unfallen worlds that believe in God? Yes. So it is a universal church. If you want to tweet or whatever that your pastor is apostatizing, that's okay. I'll pray for you. So, next, number 11. We're getting almost done already. What if I don't belong to a godly family? You may be sitting in your pew right now saying, or listening to me, and you may be thinking, but Pastor, I don't belong to that kind of family. My family is messed up. Well, guess what? So is everybody else's family. Remember, the fall. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, every single family on the planet is a sin-filled family, full of sinners and people with sinful natures. We'll talk about that more when we get to marriage. This, your family, none of your families, don't look at other people's family, please. Because they can be rich, they can look like the perfect family. They may have two children and or 2.3 children and two dogs and a cat and white picket fence. You know, I used to think when I was a kid and even when I was an adult before I met Jesus, and even probably before I did this study, I used to think I had great parents. I had wonderful parents. They were like a solid lower middle class to middle class family, worked hard, right? My parents loved each other. My father would run to the door every time my mother came home from work and give her a kiss on the right there on the porch, right in public. I remember they'd be watching TV and holding hands. And be careful if you walk into the kitchen because stuff may be going on in there. True story. They loved each other desperately. The issue was, and we should probably use this for marriage, they didn't tell me how that worked. I don't ever remember my parents having an argument until I became a teenager. Then we were all upset. But they didn't tell me how that worked. How do you achieve that? And my parents, I wouldn't call them church-going Christians. I'm not totally sure that they're converted. So that's between them and the Lord. But every single, if you look at, okay, you go to somebody's house, look up to somebody up on the hill who's got all that stuff. They got the cars, they got everything. As far as you know, nothing bad's happening in that family. As a pastor, let me tell you something. You have no idea what is happening in other people's houses. Trust me. Everybody's family is messed up. You may think you have a good family. You may teach Sabbath school. You may have kids that are going to academy. They're going to Christian education. And you may think that you're all good. But you are not. There's not one perfect family on the planet. The perfect family resides in heaven. So you may say, Pastor, I don't belong to that kind of family. Well, guess what? God created a family just for you. A community just for you. So is it time to relinquish the family? Is it time to relegate the family to the trash heap because it's old-fashioned and out of date? Is it time for that? It's not time to relinquish the family. It's not time to retire the family or relegate the family to the trash heap. It's time to redeem the family. Number 12, what is the good news? You know, I always like to put some good news in there. We're going to find that in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, I was in here preached. I've already preached the sermon once today here. I was doing it this morning. You all missed it. You were here. Brian was here. And I told him I wasn't going to give him the good news until he had to stick around to hear the good news. So John chapter, what chapter?
One.
What verse? 12 and 13. Praise the Lord. Okay, and it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is very cool. The word for power here is not the dynamis power or dunamis power that we're used to talking about. This is the exousia power. This is the power of choice. So God gives you the power to choose Him. Isn't it interesting that God gives you faith, God gives you repentance, and even the matter of choice, He gives you as a gift. I thought I was going to have some happy people with that one. He gives you the power to choose Him. The church is a family that will welcome you. And Jesus and God are the Father. God made it so. And that's the way it is. Is there power in the God's spoken word?
Yeah.
Is there creative power in the Word of God?
Yeah.
Amen. See, can I tell you how good God is? Can I tell you how good God is? Because God has created a family so large that the devil himself cannot destroy it. There is a multitude standing on the sea of glass that nobody can number. God is ready to redeem His family and take it home. God has made you, wants to make you, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to tell people about the man who took you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's how good God is, that He has created a family just for you. Your family, see, God says, I know I created you perfect. Perfect. I was all good in the beginning, but now you're broke. You're broken. Your family is broken. But God says, I am going to fix it. The devil had a plan, but God's got a better plan. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, today that God has a better plan for your family. And He's going to achieve that through the power of choice. Let's sing our closing song.
I'm so glad I'm a part bondage to the house of the king. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From ransom to riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Everybody sing this. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel beside. For I'm part of the family, the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joining with Jesus as we travel beside. For I'm part of the family, the family.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I changed the closing song. That was awesome. Thank you. All right. Please. Are you glad?
Amen.
Are you glad to be in the family of God? No. I debated with the Lord, which I don't do that often, about what I should do next. Now, I know that there's a lot of dear saints here in these pews, but I also know there's people here who would like to join the family of God. There's people here who would like to join this family of God. And I'm going to do an old-fashioned altar call. So if there's anybody here that wants to, say, take studies to be baptized into this church, or wants to give their life to Jesus and walk into the newness of life that Jesus has for you, I want you to come forward. Jesus called people publicly. So if you're wanting to take studies for baptism, want to be baptized, want to give your life to God, now is the time to come forward. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got one for the Father. Is anybody here one for Jesus? Huh? Anybody, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus because you know you've been in this church so long, but yet you don't know what that is anymore. You don't know if you're even a Christian anymore. You don't even know if you're a Seventh-day Adventist anymore. Come forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got one for the Father, one for the Son. Is anybody here for the Holy Spirit? Anybody?
I'm always down for the Lord.
All right. Got another one for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's show some appreciation. Now, we're going to have some prayer for you right now. I want the elder, whoever elders are around, I want you to come forward. I want my wife to come forward. I want the deacons to come forward. Anybody, come forward. Let's lay hands on somebody, and we're going to have a prayer. Lord, it's a happy day.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Father.
People have felt the power of your Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And they want to be bathed. So, Lord, I want to pray for these dear souls who have come forward to rededicate and dedicate and learn what it's like to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian.
Yes, Father.
So, Lord, thank you. It was nothing I did.
No.
It's all you. So Lord, help us as a family, as a community, to welcome these people in, get involved in their lives, call them brother and sister.
Amen.
We thank you again, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Welcome to the family.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're all home now. This is your house. We are your people. I want you all to mark these people in your minds. These are the people who love the Lord. These are the people that you're going to love on. That you're going to help. And that you're going to accept help from them. Amen? Right. Let's pray. One final prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for, wow, such a fantastic day. And I want to thank you for these dear people, all of them. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship and our food, Lord, and let's keep it going, Lord. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Oh, I don't want to leave, Lord. I feel your Spirit here today.
Yeah.
Converting souls, Lord, please let us take this into the world so that people will take note that we have spent time with you. Again, in Jesus' name and in the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Probably.